Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Looks like Spencer Dinwiddie spilled the beans. He was on some podcast or some interview, and he said the date is July 15th. The season to return, and it looks like it could be Orlando and Vegas, two sites.
Well, I think his initial thing was he responded to a guy who tweeted that the NBA will be coming back June 20th. That's what the guy wrote, somewhat known. I don't know what he does, really. And then Dinwiddie said that's just for the practices starting, but the games will be the 15th. And then the date started coming out from Shams and other people, Shams Charania, that, yeah, like five regular season games between the 15th and the 23rd, then the playoffs would start.
Yeah, five. How about the NHL is going 24 team playoff, which is I could see if I'm one of the teams, if I'm Phoenix or one of the teams at the bottom of the list that I've got no chance of making the playoffs with five games. Why am I going back again? I forget. And you know, then you start to talk about, well, there is a bigger risk, you know, of something happening, of me getting it, because I am close. We're sweating on each other. If anybody's got it, then we're certainly going to be exchanging fluids. And so that there is a big risk in basketball. And if I'm only going to play five games, I realize you got to get your bag, because we got to play 70 games in order to get our television contract. But, you know, I mean, that to me is a lot riskier than Blake Snell standing on a mound away from everybody else.
Blake Snell is one of the safest people in the world.
Right.
Except on Twitch, where he can wreck you if you go up against him in video games. And you can watch him on his Twitch stream, because Blake is so lit. But aside from him being super lit, I asked Lance some colors about whether or not UFC 249 gave him any kind of peace of mind, because everyone was tested. That was the first live sporting event in the States, was UFC 249. And that's a close proximity sport. There was testing done. Jacare Souza and two of his corner men were found to have COVID. They were taken off the card. And so the fights went on, and there were no issues afterwards with any contraction of anything. And so I asked him, and he's a huge, obviously he and Carlos Correa are doing the Walkout podcast, which is an MMA podcast. And I said, did that make you as a baseball player feel any type of way, feel safer, or like it gave you some hope? He goes, no, not really. He said, that's a one-time shot. We're talking about isolating. I don't know where the umps are. I don't know where the other players are. I don't know where, you know, the managers are. He said, there's too many variables in ours to just feel like everything's fine. He said, I get it for the UFC where you have one event and you've got to quarantine for a certain amount of time. You're all together for 14 days or whatever, 15 days. But he said, it's just a little different in a sports atmosphere where we have multiple games and multiple people and multiple variables.
What about Korea?
Yeah, you know, so I don't think I asked Korea. I think we moved on to something else. To me, Korea is the real, that's the one that you look at. That's the apples to apples argument. I brought in the UFC 249 because he's a big fan and watched it and all that stuff. But to me, Korea, have we seen anything with Korea? Now, maybe their numbers are different in Korea versus ours in a general sense, right?
Definitely are, yeah. They are the leader in terms of lack of cases, and they got on the ball really early, and yeah.
Yeah, so that's the primary, I think that's the primary difference between the two. But it is more of an apples-to-apples from, you know, how the sport is played as opposed to the UFC, especially with the UFC being a one and done. You know, Lance is right. It's a one and done event, and they can have multiple one and done events. Like, the UFC probably is not going to be affected by this because they are uniquely, and golf too. Golf is probably not going to be affected by this. Realistically, right. The question is going to be how many. So I saw Uncle Freddie yesterday. He came by my house, and he said he's digging around looking for Masters tickets. He wants to go to the Masters. And I said, you know what? Are they going to have the same amount? Because isn't that something that gets grandfathered in, John? Your Masters tickets, you keep them like season tickets? Or how does that work?
They're given to people, first of all, in Augusta. They have, you know, they get them and they use them and they sell them and they rent their houses out. But there's a list that's been going on for a long time, and if you're on the list and you get them, you can apply for Masters tickets every year, but it's usually just a one-day pass that you can. The other ones are pretty damn hard to get. Now you can pay for them. You can obviously pay for them. When I heard that they were, you know, just one pass for the week is like probably $10,000.
Yeah,
that's sporty. That's really, really sporty.
Mm-hmm.
But they're relatively cheap for the people that have they get them on a regular basis, and it's a lot of Augusta people. It's a lot of golf people in the industry. It's a lot of there are golf cart companies that are in Augusta, and they get those as well. I know that's how Elmer and Tim and the boys over at Wildcat, they get theirs because they buy their golf carts from the company, and then they bring them out there, and that's how they entertain them, is at the Masters. So it's a great combination. It's a great way to go about that. But yeah, they'll be out there if in fact there will be people at Augusta. I mean, I haven't heard that.
I don't know. That's why when he brought that up, I wondered, like. Because I know this much, when I watch, there people are pretty jammed up in certain areas, especially behind the greens. So I wondered, I don't know how many tickets are even going to be sold or allowed or allotted. Or
you're on top of each other.
Right? I've never been there, but it looks like it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. No. The crowd is just.
So it's like a marathon. You can't go. They're going to have to keep golf. So golfers can golf, but fans can't go. And that's. And it's ridiculous because there's all that space. There's a ton of space out on a course. If people just weren't stupid, but they all have to get jammed up to make sure and watch, you know.
Well,
what's his name? Who's the guy last year?
It'll come down to one small space in golf. It'll come down to 18, 7, 16, 17, 18. It'll come down to, you know, those holes, and that's when. You know, I don't know how many
people. Can they put down 2,000 X's?
The amount of people that they get there. But there's a good, 30,000 people, and everybody's trying to get to two or three holes.
Well, yeah. Can they put down, maybe you can sell tickets to individual holes. Like, if you're hole one, once it's over, you might as well go home now. You're done. That's the only hole you're allowed at.
Well, that's a way to go about it, Lance. I don't know that they'll do that.
What about putting down 30,000 X's 6 feet apart and saying, look, you have to stay on your X, and that's it?
They'd be green X's.
Yeah, well, obviously. Right. Can you imagine the Masters? Do you expect us to put down a 6 feet away X for something like the Masters, where the great Fuzzy Zeller once was victorious, or Bobby Jones? Jack Nicklaus, to put something, a markings for the COVID on our golf course, sir? Ha! Good day, sir. We're not putting anything on the short. What's it called? The first cut?
Yeah, on the first cut.
Yeah, the first cut will be unbesmirched.
We don't even like to recognize Chinese people as individuals. You think we're going to recognize a Chinese virus?
Yeah, I got a great idea here. Put down a bunch of plexiglass around the put individual plexiglasses around the greens and have people stand on either side of the plexiglass so they don't put coronavirus on people. The Chinese virus. Forget about it.
That's not, and I don't mean it like an Italian forget about it. I'm saying you can forget about it. We're not doing that.
We're not doing plexiglass. We're not doing X's. Now, listen.
Put a mask on like everybody else. Put some gloves on, preferably from the
but
pro shop.
They got to be green.
They got to be green, and we're selling them at the front. Yeah. You get two gloves, a lefty and a righty. They're made out of leather.
And a green N95 mask for $8,000.
Yeah, green and with a yellow Masters logo.
Yes. As long as the Masters logo on it, we will charge you.
Hold on a second.
150% more than it's worth.
Right now, John, is it a pick'em that there's a Masters mask that will be sold?
There's a Masters mask of everything. Now, it's an illegal mask because the only place that you can buy anything with the Masters logo on it.
That's what I'm asking.
Is it Augusta?
Even
mask?
Money. Will Augusta sell Masters masks?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. I was just making sure.
But you know that they'll be the highest quality mask, and they will be $48.
Yeah, no, they're not going to be cheap.
No.
Whenever people buy something from the pro shop for another person from the Masters, you can always sense there, I need you to be extremely cognizant of what I went through to get this shirt.
Yes.
I need you to understand that this hat comes with a price tag. Well, and that price tag was actual real price tag. That's huge.
Right. I used to whenever somebody would be going to, I'd say, oh, can you get me a shirt? Can you get me a hat there while you're there? Yeah, can you do that? That's not a problem. And then when I went, like, hey, get me a shirt. Get me a hat. I was like, what the bleep? What do you think? Honestly, I spent well over $1,000 the first time I went there.
No, what?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Well over $1,000?
Oh, yeah.
On gifts?
On gifts and stuff for me, and I wanted shirts and had to get some for the kids and for, it's like, holy crap. It is, no. It's easy. People spend tens of thousands of dollars in that store.
I don't like anyone enough to spend that kind of money.
Oh, yeah. If you see somebody with a Masters logo on anything, it means they spent some money.
It means somebody cares about them.
Yep. Or they spent money. They spent some cash. 732 ESPN 97.5. Don't come in.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, and we're here. Well, Dell and I are here till 11 o'clock right here on ESPN975 when we send it to the press box. What's going on, boys?
Not too much. Got stuck in a coffee line that, lately, I don't know if you know this or not, but Starbucks, yeah, I do the mobile app every morning, 7 days a week, addicted to caffeine. It's just not even a question. Couldn't get to sleep last night, so I didn't get to sleep until sometime after 1. So need caffeine today. And order my coffee like I always do, mainline the 30-ounce coffee, iced coffee. And, Dale, you don't have to wipe down anymore. We're good. They said you can't get coronavirus from touching stuff anymore. You're good. So
who said you can't get coronavirus from touching what?
I'm sorry. The Center for Disease Control. Maybe you've heard of the CDC, John.
No,
have you ever heard of that little organization called CDC?
Yeah.
They changed their guidelines, actually. All right, I'll pivot from coffee. Anyway, I just got stuck in a long line. I didn't go inside. I got in drive through, and then I got behind somebody who's basically having milkshakes made. Like, just get your... Please stop ordering multiple things that have the whipped cream on it. That's the one that takes forever. They got to get the blenders out. Like, get the blenders out. We got to make milkshakes for the kids. So anyway, that is something that I read just this morning, that the CDC, I guess a couple weeks ago, has changed some of their information through their studies. They said, look, while we have seen that coronavirus can last a certain amount of time on, bags or, all the stuff that we read that terrified us.
Yeah.
Now they have come out and said, okay, you are much less likely to get it touching something that it disintegrates or degrades. The virus degrades fairly quickly in most cases. While it can last longer on certain things like doorknobs, that's really not the concern. Grocery bags, not the concern. They said if you want to continue wiping down your grocery bags or whatever, that's fine, but it's really unlikely that you're going to get it there. So we can stop throwing bleach on our groceries. And then, but they did say it's possible, but it's highly unlikely. It's unlikely, not highly unlikely. It's possible. It's unlikely you're going to get it from touching doorknobs and things like that, generally speaking. But it does intensify the concerns that when you get it, it's just going to be primarily when you're in close contact. And that's why Houston, we've been spread out. We've taken it seriously. Our numbers have been down. We reopened. I saw on Channel 13, as a matter of fact, yesterday, Ted Oberg, there has been a spike in ICU. 21% spike over the last, since April 33, is it? Over the last 7 days,
yep.
I think, in intensive care over the last 7 days. So I just think the numbers are out there. We know what it is.
What's going to happen?
Yeah, we know what's going to happen. This is not the flu. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing. Where they're not overrun with, there's been a spike, but there's beds, there's ventilators. That's not the concern right now. But it is dangerous. There is a spike. For some people, it's not dangerous. For others, it's damn near a death sentence, and it seems random. If you get the MERS, the Middle East Respiratory, you're going to be in trouble. If you don't, odds are you're not going to be in trouble, but you will have a bad, bad flu. In some cases, not even a bad flu. But it's just amazing that I look at this, John, in the scope of real life, because I have my real life and my sports life, but this is one where they're coinciding because of the coronavirus, because we don't really know. So they're finding out new things with coronavirus. They're finding out new things. Okay, you know what? This isn't going to spread as easily through touching, but it really is going to be magnified that you can get it within 6 feet. And that 6 feet is where the sneeze, what I was reading it this morning, where the sneeze droplets, that's why it's the 6 feet, because that's outside of that, you typically won't get affected by the sneeze, right? Well, so we're finding out different things. I'm open-minded about, okay, sometimes you just don't have the information. It's not that, I don't like scare tactic headlines. I think headline writers really have got to check themselves.
Like Josh.
Not like Josh, but because
our
they need clicks.
Headlines, our sportsmen aren't terrifying.
Well, listen, they
about
need.
About Jadeveon Clowney coming back?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind Jadeveon back on a one-year deal this year.
Terrifying
would you?
To Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, maybe to Bill O'Brien. It's not terrifying to him. He has all the power over there. He owns the Texans. But I do recognize that there are some things that if this was brand new and they're still learning some things. So I recognize that. I don't look at everything as a conspiracy theory. Similarly, there are new things we're learning in football or sports. And that's why when I see a story like, okay, we're not going to possibly be able to come back and have anyone in summer. And then football says, okay, wait, we're going to open up. Colleges say, we're going to open up on June 1st, and Lincoln Riley says, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. And so I don't know that we really know 100% which side is going to be right on this thing. Or, you could say, well, look, my side is there are going to be some guys who get sick, but this is going to be needed. Maybe your vantage point is a little bit different. But it seems like there's just no room for nuance with anybody since everything is politicized or everything is, what side am I supposed to be on? Well, just think for yourself. And it's okay to be nuanced and understand that things are fluid. I don't know how this is going to turn out in June. I mean, we're sitting here in May. They're going to open, and we will see. But I did think about this. This is my one big concern. After the show was over, I was thinking about this. This is my huge, huge, huge concern in sports. Because any way you start to talk about this will make you seem either hypersensitive or calloused. What if they reopen everything? We understand somebody's going to get sick, right? In football or baseball or basketball, there is a higher likelihood that somebody can get the coronavirus, and then you're going to have to do whatever you have to do to keep things going. You and I both think that, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to have to kind of figure out a way to have the wherewithal to get through it, isolate, detect it, blah, 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 trace, whatever. What happens if one of those rare deaths occur in a college or pro athlete? One person does. It's a baseball player, a pitcher, whatever the case may be. What happens if one person dies in any sport, college, football, any professional sport? Doesn't have to be a big name person. If it is, it's going to be more jarring. What happens? My guess is all of professional sports and all of sports shut down with one death, which I'm, once again, I'm not passing judgments on anything. I'm not, but I'm just saying the reality is, even though most of the cases are more minor, and even though the death rate, if everything's taken into account, is going to be lower than what has been out there previously, the mortality rate, I did come to the realization that probably sports shuts down if there is any mortality or fatalities.
Yeah, it went from Rudy Gobert catching it to shut everything down to maybe to a death, shutting it down. I think that would be a real possibility, yeah. And it's, yeah, especially if it's a well-known – well, whomever it is.
If it's a well-known player, it's going to be like, okay, this is – and then I don't know. The sports almost – you almost think the sports won't come back at all except for racing – and individual sports, golf, yep. Golf will have their big chance, their big shot. Golf, racing, and then maybe, and then it will be individual decisions based on countries and leagues. So hopefully it doesn't come to that. But that's the only – I think leagues, when they come back, Mark Schlaubach wrote an article on ESPN yesterday, and this is something that we've talked about. I don't know why it hasn't gotten more – attention. The information has been out there. He wrote an article that showed how dependent every university is on their major athletics, that college football must be played. Like it's almost like you don't even have a choice because the catastrophic issues universities will face, universities as learning, as centers for learning will face, not just athletic programs. Only 41% of Power Five conferences have enough left in or have any money in reserve to get through a stoppage. Only 41% of Power Five conferences. I mean, Pac-12, if they had it their way, would shut down and not play anything. But now you're seeing universities and the decision makers like, oh, I'm not sure we can do that. Are you sure about that? Arizona and Arizona State's like, no, we're going to the Big 12. We're switching. We're going AAC. We're going Conference USA. Not actually happened, but I'm just saying.
Right. They're going Conference USA, you think?
I'm sorry. Rice, do you have anyone on your schedule? Do you have any openings?
Yes.
And Rice is like, we always have an opening if you're willing to pay us.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
John, when you when we all wake up in the morning, we all wake up in different moods. We're not sure. Mm-hmm. Depending, we may not all feel great. Some of us may feel great. When we start
you
the
never
show,
feel great.
Well, you never know. I might feel refreshed at least from sleeping. But when we start the show, and Lance goes on one of these, if people die, then sports is done. And look at everything that could happen. Do you feel like there's a weight that's been put on you?
No,
after the first 10 minutes,
I feel like. Well, my life now is just now a death rate, a death toll.
Yeah, and even the whole hoping for sports to come back. I feel like, well, if one of those guys dies, am I a bad person because I wanted sports to come back?
Right.
Oh man. And then you think to yourself, well, would they treat a sports death from COVID like they might treat, particularly if it's so rare that it happens to one person, like a car accident or someone who was fatally murdered or something? Would they treat it like that, or would they say, well, because it happened in sports and they could have caught it from someone else, sports is all over? Then you get into all these existential things like, will I never watch a football game again because of
what
Lance
just said? That's 100% happening. The headlines, if anyone dies in
sports. No, you're the headline writer. You're the headline writer.
I just read the headlines. I just read the headlines.
No, you are the headline writer.
I'm a headline reader.
Because I hadn't heard anyone talk about, will sports never be a thing again if someone dies, until you just said it.
Yeah,
no, you did. Thanks. Yep. You just created an entire new headline. What if someone dies in sports?
I'm sorry I asked a question. That's a question. What answers do you guys have?
All I'm saying is,
give your answers.
No. You know what I thought my question
might
be?
I made you uncomfortable. I'm a disruptor.
You know what I thought a question might be?
What?
You know, I don't know. Is Kahale wearing a? What about the new proposal for an onside kick? What about, oh, my God, Tom Brady, was he cheating with the Bucs when they were working out?
Or what
no,
about?
No, it's what if everybody dies in sports?
I mean, we had multiple things about sports coming back. The MLS has a plan for their tournament in place. We might have firm dates about when basketball will return. The guy from the Premier League just said, from Arsenal, said they expect to start playing on June 20th.
Wow. What about, Tim Kelly. He's excited about the David Duke backfield.
That's not a thing.
Yes, he did. That's what he said.
He didn't say anything about a David Duke backfield.
That I'm pretty sure that's exactly what he said. I'm not quoting. I'm paraphrasing, but he thinks it can expand the offense. You know what DeLance wants to talk about? Death in sports.
I'm never at this really high level of excitement about doing the show at Lance, but I could just feel myself dropping.
Your energy
and
just
dropping. And dropping.
Yeah,
and dropping.
Maybe because he didn't get any sleep and he had to wait in line at Starbucks.
Yeah, now he's talking about everyone
now
dying.
Now he's got plenty of time to think about death. Lance,
I was thinking about death and I was in a good mood yesterday. And I'm like, and something in my head just said, hey, what if someone dies? And I said, huh? Just like you guys did whenever you face the reality. Like, what do you mean?
And I think the reality is because you just talked about it. Look. That's one person. Let's wait till five people die before we start thinking.
You think
about
that's the reality?
What if it's
I don't
NFL?
Know.
Twitter's not letting sports go on.
Twitter's a small minority. Twitter's not controlling anything.
Twitter doesn't want nothing.
Do you want to get canceled?
They're not. Well, you think?
Do you want Twitter to cancel you? Yes or no?
Twitter can't cancel billionaires. They can't cancel. I'm not a billionaire. They could cancel me. They can't cancel NFL billionaires. They can't.
Yeah, not in real life. They can try as hard as they want. One thing billionaires can do is keep doing billionaire stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's what billionaires do.
Yeah, billionaires do stuff. But the Mark Schlabach was that article. He's going to be with us Tuesday. But it is, I mean, it does show that well, college sports is essential. I mean, it is 100% essential.
It's the death of college sports if they don't play.
Yeah,
so.
Well, that's right up Lance's wheelhouse. Talk about the death of something.
No, but it is.
It is.
I mean, you guys, read that article.
I saw Lance at Pete's yesterday. We went and picked up those burgers. Oh, my gosh. Michael puts a gigantic, gigantic ball of meat on the scale and goes, yep, there it is. And then he takes a patty,
yeah.
And it's like, holy crap. It is.
That's the tri-blend of brisket and short rib and sirloin.
Unbelievable. So we were over there, and he's like, hey, I got this guy, Schleipa. It's about the death of college sports.
Great.
Well, it was on the front page of ESPN. $4 billion that will be lost.
Encouraging to listen to and read and talk
about. Well, I mean, it's only our jobs if college sports doesn't go on. Don't worry. All of our jobs.
Job
we
all know college sports. Death and destruction to the sports world.
And it's pretty apparent.
I'm not infecting anyone.
And it's pretty apparent college sports is like we plan. Because everyone. What's that? Louisville, your players are coming back already? Oh, you can be on campus next week? Cosworth is going to do everything possible to play.
They have to.
Everybody that I've talked to in college they're playing, and they're playing week zero.
They really, honestly, don't have a choice. They have to play. No. I'm telling you, you guys must play.
Yeah,
you guys must play. You don't have the revenue to run your universities. They're so suckling from the college athletic and primarily college football teat. They must play to get the money they need inside the states. So it's going to go.
We got to take a break. 716 ESPN 97.5. Craig DeSerf's got – he's got stuff too.
Craig DeSerf's got lots of stuff, although I will say the numbers are coming down and down. Manufacturing has ceased for vehicles. That's why – I know maybe you haven't thought about that, but you're not going to see lots with tons and tons of cars in them because once they get sold, the numbers go down. So if you go to LanceZCars.com as often as I do, you can see the numbers going down at Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, GMC. They're going down around, dealerships around you. The big difference is out in Angleton, where Craig DeSerf and Rick Drenner are,
they are going to continue to make you aggressive offers for your trade-in value. They have programs like 0% financing for 84 months or deferred payments for 120 days for well-qualified buyers so that you can put off those payments or lower your payments. And they are going to do everything necessary to make sure that you are not only safe with the process, but also that it's convenient for you. And that's the way they've always been. They don't need a pandemic to make sure that their customer service is top notch. They're in Angleton. They realize a lot of customers come from Houston. So they are willing to drop the vehicle off for you, deliver it right here in Houston. It's not a problem. If you want to get out there to Angleton and maybe hit a spot like Killen's Barbecue on the way out, you can do that. You can do things like that. But I can just tell you this. They are going to do everything possible to make sure you get a great price, a great value, and great service every step of the way. Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. My man, Craig DeSerf, Rick Drenner just got a message on Twitter from a longtime listener saying, hey, I want to make sure and support your advertisers. And I know those guys have been with you guys for a long time, and I need a truck, so I'm headed out there. Head out there this weekend. They'll be there waiting for you. LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
James Harden chimed in finally. I didn't hear James at all. Had you guys?
Very quiet on the James.
I wonder what James has been doing. Well, I have a feeling I know what James has been doing the entire time. There are so many things that have to be figured out, the one-time MVP explained. I want it to be safe. He isn't opposed to be playing in a bubble environment at a singular location, though the eight-time All-Star would prefer the virus calm down all the way to a minimum before anyone returns to the court. Well, the problem with even a minimum is that one person gives it to another person. I mean, when do we get to a minimum on a virus that just is on, that you can contract on contact and it doubles and triples? And I mean, I don't understand what a minimum would be. James Harden feels like they should slow down now. LeBron's been having workouts now.
Yeah.
LeBron's been holding the workouts. Tom Brady was ruled on, you know, when the high school video came out when they were all at the high school working out, and the NFL said, yeah, he can go. He can work out with his teammates as long as, you know, you're following the standards in your state or your area, your local area. NFL players are allowed to work out together. It seems like NBA players are now getting together, and they're starting to work out. And we'll see. You know, we'll see if Lance's scenario of somebody dying right there on the court will happen.
No, that's not my scenario. I ask a question if that would shut down all of sports if worst-case scenario happened. That's what I asked because I asked myself that, and I said, well, I can't be the only one to shoulder this burden. I got to put it on Dell and John too, and make them shoulder.
Why do I have to shoulder it?
Because now you got to answer the question internally, Dell.
Speaking of sports, who's your Korean baseball team again?
KT Wiz.
Well, they just blew a ninth inning lead and about to go down a bases loaded. Look, I'm watching it right now. It's on TV right now. And speaking of that,
we've been great lately. We were on a huge win streak.
Well, they're up 5-2, and they're going to blow it. And speaking of that, the players in the dugout, no social distancing for them. They're all in the dugout hanging out, so that probably speaks to South Korea and their ability to control the virus. Yeah, there's no minimum as far as what James Harden's talking about. You know, sometimes when you listen to a guy speak, you're like, oh, this guy's just talking. This guy ain't saying nothing real. I mean, he's not that I expect James Harden to have any like expertise in this, because why would he? He's not a doctor. But the minimum thing is like, yeah, I'd really like it to not exist so I can play and not worry about it. Well, that's not a likely scenario at this point. The best you can hope for is what the NBA is attempting to do, testing, isolating, and maybe I don't even know if this won't be a thing in next NBA season when they start up in December. It's probably still going to be a thing they have to worry about.
Yeah, it's going to be a thing until there's a vaccine. It's going to be a thing. It's just going to be a thing. That's all there is to it. just like smallpox was. Just like when you get a when you get a shot, when you get a vaccine, then the world can go back to normal. Although we'll see if the world goes back to total normal. What do you think about the new onside kick? Instead of an onside kick, 4th and 15 from your own 25-yard line, and if you get the first down, you keep the ball. If you don't, the other team gets the ball right there.
Excuse me?
Yeah, they're going to vote on that. It's kind of like what the XFL did. Yeah.
Why are you doing 4th and 15?
No, not the XFL, what the AAFL did.
Oh, the AFL. Okay, okay.
Yeah, and that was 4th and 12. But here's the deal. Here are the stats. So it went down when you could not get a running start anymore. The onside kicks went down from like 20-some percent to like 7.5. Oh, no. It went down from 21.7% to 7.5% in 2018. That was a huge, huge drop-off. Now, it did go back in 2019, went up to 12.5%, 7 of 56, largely thanks to Falcons kicker Young Ho Koo, who converted 2 in 1 game. So it's still 12.5% is still low. In the NFL, on 4th and 15, teams were collectively 2 of 7, which is 28.6% in 2019. And from 2015 to 19, they were 7 of 29, 24.1%. So it would make it 4th and 15 is going to be easier than even an onside kick with a running start. And
I got you. Fourth and 15, meaning, okay, now it made sense. It's just putting a designation on it of fourth down. It's just a one-time play. Yeah, it's a one-time play you're talking about.
It's instead of an onside kick, you say, I want the ball at the 25, and I'm going to go for a fourth and 15.
The confusion is it's not a fourth down. It's just a play. There were not a third and second and first down preceding it.
Oh, no, correct.
All right, we're in the ninth inning.
It's an extra inning, right?
Yeah. The 4th and 15 is what. Okay, so it's just a play. It's a do or die. It's a kamikaze.
Well, it's a do or die play, which is why it's 4th and 15, right?
I think they should come up with something. They should just call it. Have a name for it. But regardless, that's a branding thing. But
right.
I get what you're saying. Okay,
now you can,
because the fourth down part was like, what? What are we talking about? Fourth down.
Well, that's what they're calling it, 4th and 15. Anyway, so you get one play to get 15 yards to keep the ball. You can do it twice in a game, but you have to be trailing.
It's a much better. The onsides were irrelevant this year.
Well, they were better this year than they were before. Than they were in 18. 18, they were very, basically irrelevant because you couldn't with the new rule of not being able to running start.
One team had two that they recovered, I remember, but it's still very, very low with some of the rule changes and limiting the amount of players on the side. I like the 4th and 15. I know that it's different, and I know that people struggle with the idea of changing fundamental aspects of sports. And then once you make it, it's not a big deal. Like once you actually go to this concept – a do-or-die concept, I think people are going to love it because there is an excitement to an onside kick, and it usually just peters out. I've seen 4th and 15 conversions. I was watching at Jay Pennington's pub with Alonzo Highsmith when he was with the Green Bay Packers back when they were beaten because the Philadelphia Eagles and Donovan McNabb. They ended up, what was that? Was that a four? It was like a 4th and 15, somewhere
it was
around
26. More than that. It was 26.
It was what?
4th and 26.
It was 4th and 26?
Yeah, and they hit like Freddie Mitchell down the seam.
Yeah. Yep. And I thought Alonzo was going to, I didn't know if he was going to vomit blood or destroy the place.
That was a huge play in the playoffs.
So much money went flying out of his pockets. But yeah, that was we see those kind of conversions happen. We'll see conversions like that.
We see them about once every four. It's at 24% over the last 5 years in the NFL, almost 25%. So, yeah, it'll be more exciting. And, yeah, it'll make it a better game because as opposed to 7.5% in 2018, you got no chance to come back, and the game just peters out at the end, where this will make the game more exciting. a lot more exciting if you're able to convert those. So I'm for it, yeah. How about maybe, you know, just because you don't do it, NFL, doesn't mean that it's not a good idea. Maybe the AAF had a good idea.
Well, but that's what they're talking about doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they recognize that. They're right. Not going to do anything to actually, not to even joke about it. They are talking about having some from a technological standpoint and review standpoint. I think they will take the XFL's part of what the XFL did. I think they're not even going to take it into account. It wouldn't shock me if some of those changes were a similar change was made at some point in the very near future.
I just wish we could have seen the overtime XFL rule. That would have been cool to see getting the ball at the five with five tries.
We never saw that?
We never saw it. It never happened. Five tries. And you know, just like a sudden death in soccer. They're whatever you call them.
Yeah, penalty kicks.
Penalty kicks. Well, yeah. And you get five. Each team gets five. And, you know, the whoever scores the most in the five tries wins. That to me, would be a totally sweet overtime. We never saw it in the XFL. All right, let's and that might have given them, because we've got AAF 4th and 12 as opposed to 4th and 15. They did the 4th and 12, and they converted, and it was a big hit. So let's talk right now about Jeff Aronoff, an absolute marvel in Granite, and let's talk about, you know, your place, your business, your home, whatever it is, wherever it is that you need upgrading. You need a new look. You need marble. You need granite. You need countertops. You need, redo the fireplace. You need to redo the bathrooms. You need to redo the outdoor. You need to redo the patio or do it for the first time. Did you buy a new house and you've got a patio out there? It's just all sod or just all dirt out there. And you don't know what you want to do with it. Well, Jeff Aronoff can design the whole thing for you, too. And especially if you're somebody who, you know, you're not that good at this. I don't know what to do. Well, guess what? Jeff Aronoff knows what to do because this is what he does every day. He can see it. He can plan it. He can design it. He can architecture it. He can build it. And he does this. And this is a great time to get this done, especially now with your businesses. You're getting back and you want people in there. Well, get it. Make it look good. And Jeff Aronoff gets that done. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. Absolute marble and granite.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
CNBC says American billionaires got $434 billion richer during the pandemic.
Who did?
American billionaires. CNBC says. Douglas says they could have instead given every American $1 billion.
Stop.
That was another thing that we came out of the...
That was the early stages because we were at...
Bad
no,
math.
No. Yeah, no. That we weren't in the middle of any of that at that time. That was just a lady saying
she
that
about Bloomberg.
Michael Bloomberg.
When he was spending money and not... getting votes,
right.
He could have used that money.
That wasn't pandemic. That was pre-pandemic because we were at prime when it happened.
He could have given everyone $1 million.
Yeah, and then everyone's like, "Yeah, that's true." And like, wait a minute, that's not. Oh no, it's like $10 each. It's not that much. Did you guys happen to catch any of the? I've really got to stop seeing trending stuff on Twitter because it's. I've now figured out how people game the system on Twitter trending to get things trending they want to. But they won't tag the person. They'll just write their name out so that they make sure that they trend. And Chris Sims was there. I'm like, what's Chris Sims doing here? So I clicked it. You guys familiar with what happened with Chris Sims yesterday?
No, what did he do?
Well, Chris Sims had a report that Dak Prescott turned down $175 million. And you heard it yesterday. You may not have known it originated with Chris Sims.
I know that they're refuting the numbers.
Yeah, so five, right. 175, $45 million
the last year. Right.
Those numbers would make sense, especially the last year, because it forced you into a position where you have to either let him become a free agent or extend him for additional money. It's kind of an interesting ploy to get more money. If you make it shorter contract and you make the last number high, it used to be, well, you're just assuring yourself of being a cap casualty, but not when you're a quarterback. Not when you're a quarterback, that's not the case. You're more likely to see them renegotiate and extend your deal. So Chris Sims comes out and says, okay, this is the deal, $175 million. Dak has turned it down. Cowboy fans lose their minds. A lot of them do. A lot of places pick up this report. Chris Sims is with Pro Football Talk and does a daily show with Mike Florio. And so, and with NBC and with, you know, NBC Football. So then, all of a sudden, Jason OTC from Over the Cap says, my sources tell me this is not accurate. Then Ian Rappaport comes out and says, sources close to the Cowboys or the negotiations say that these numbers are not, or that this is not a correct report, yada, yada, yada. So then people started going crazy on Chris Sims. So I was kind of curious how Mike Florio would handle that on Pro Football Talk, because he's got opinions on things. And one of his guys has something that may be a little incorrect. So he had an article that just says the Dak Prescott negotiations in a nutshell. And he really doesn't go too far into it. He just talks about the quarterback market and things like that. Come 2021, in absence of a long-term deal, Dak will get a 20% raise under the franchise tag. That's another $37.8 million. So he really doesn't talk that I can find. He doesn't talk about the Chris Sims report much at all in here. That's a little disingenuous.
You know what?
Yeah.
It's
very disingenuous.
Hypocritical. It really is.
Yeah, because he would have attacked somebody else.
Crushed somebody.
Yeah, he would have attacked someone else. So I don't know. The Dak thing, that sounded plausible that Dak could turn down a deal at $35 million. I mean, it wouldn't have been my choice, but it sounded plausible that somebody could play hardball a little bit more. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if he signed a deal like that, or if he turned it down. Now, I wouldn't think it was smart to turn it down, but Dallas, I know, has played some hardball with Dak. They're not just going to – they're the anti-Bill O'Briens. They're not just going to write a check for millions over what the number is. Believe it or not, Dallas, I think, functions much more realistically than the Texans now. It didn't used to be the case, but there has been a seismic shift over the last 5 years, 6 years, really since 14 when they drafted Zach Martin instead of Johnny Manziel. That's when I first said, wait a minute. What are you doing, Jerry Jones? You're supposed to draft Johnny Manziel. That's a Jerry Jones move. Yep. When they drafted a guard and a pretty good one at that, I was like, this doesn't make sense. Who's running this team? It turns out Stephen Jones has a heavy hand in that one, I think. So whoever it is smartened up Dallas. I don't know what's happened, but they've smartened up with their decision-making. And I'm not sure a deal gets done for Dak Prescott right now. I don't feel like Dallas is just going to give in. And at some point, Dak is going to have to make the decision to take over $30 million a year, which feels like an easy decision in the midst of a pandemic. But
right. The franchise is what, 31.7 or something like that?
Yeah.
That's what he's going to get this year.
31.4.
If I'm him, and you know, I don't care. I just wish the Cowboys would sign him long term so that they don't ever win anything. That's all. That's all I wish for. I do you believe Dak Prescott will ever win a Super Bowl with the Cowboys?
No. Yeah. Well, Dak is a guy who could win it if everything around him is right, and most quarterbacks are going to be in that category. I don't believe he is an elite talent. I don't believe he is a plus talent. I don't think there's a lot of them.
He actually had some great stats last year.
Yeah, stats were okay. I don't think he can will a team to victory on his shoulders. I do think Deshaun Watson has that capability. Maybe I'm being a homer. I don't know. But I don't think there's a lot of quarterbacks with plus-plus talent who can will teams to victory. I just don't. I think most of them need things optimal around them. And what Dak Prescott, the money he's asking for, is exceptional quarterback money. And he's not an exceptional quarterback. But that's where the NFL is right now. That's why they've got a problem, is Kirk Cousins reset the market. And so what you're seeing right now is a resetting of the market. And that was a problem. Kirk Cousins, when Minnesota made a bad deal for Kirk Cousins, they reset the market. Now the NFL has to live with it. And so a guy like Dak Prescott, who is, you know, I think an average to maybe slightly above average quarterback relative to what's in the league, I think he needs a lot around him to be good. I don't think he elevates people around him. I think he needs people around him to elevate him, which, once again, is most quarterbacks. I think most average quarterbacks. He's getting paid like he is a guy who can take you to greatness. That's crazy. Where have you seen that? Seriously, when have you ever seen the Dak Prescott lead you to greatness?
He put the team on his back a few games.
A few games, but I'm talking about. Yeah. I mean, this is a long-term commitment relative to money.
It's all going to change anyway. Bill O'Brien's resetting the market. He is going to reset the market.
Yes.
That Kirk Cousins piddlance is going to be nothing.
So
Russell Wilson, I don't care you won a Super Bowl. Guess what? Deshaun's getting his bag.
Did you see this? A 12-18 record outside the NFC East and a 43% winning percentage against teams with a winning record. That's what Dak Prescott is.
If you're a Cowboy fan,
or
you say.
Maybe that's what he was. Like 12-18 outside the NFC East. Yeah, I guess that's possible over his career.
If you're a Cowboy fan, you say that's a Jason Garrett record. Win loss isn't a quarterback record. That's what a lot of people will argue. That's a Jason Garrett deal, not a Dak deal. If you are about Dak,
why is it that it's a Kirk Cousins deal? Whenever he's like 3-80 against winning teams.
Well, that's the other thing. When you're watching those games, are you saying, man, Kurt's really bleeping the bed, or are other factors in play? I mean, because I haven't seen all of Kirk Cousins' trash record games against good teams. I mean, he seemed okay this year.
This year he was better. When it became a big narrative and something everyone was looking for, he was better. In the past, though, like with everything, there have been some games where he's had good games and they lost. However, there have been some real stinkers at inopportune times.
Yeah. Well, and he beat the Saints in the playoffs, which was a huge step for him. Huge step.
Took a little help. Yep. Took a little help by a safety.
Yeah. No.
That was
Drew Brees.
That was
Case
Keenum who got the help from the safety.
Oh, we're talking about
this past year. He got help from a Kyle Rudolph push-off. He got that help.
No,
got help from Drew Brees.
Yeah, him too.
That wasn't a push-off. That was a will Kyle Rudolph score a touchdown? Yes, plus 560 is what that was.
A push-off doesn't mean he didn't score the touchdown, but he pushed off to score a touchdown. That's all.
No.
Oh, yeah, Jordan pushed off on Byron Russell, too.
He did. At least he waved. I don't know.
I forgot. Are we going Brian Russell or Byron Russell? We're doing
Brian.
His name is Brian. It's always been Brian.
It's always been Brian. It just spells it weird. Byron.
He just uses a Y.
Right. He spells it in the right order, but with a Y, and it's dumb.
And it confuses people.
Yep.
It's not like Dwayne Wade, who spells his name completely incorrectly.
Well,
and we still call him Dwayne.
He doesn't spell it.
That was just
a guy put on him.
Well, what? Either way,
as an infant, he goes.
Yeah, it wasn't.
You know what? I think I'm going to spell it this way.
It isn't his fault, but his D W Y, not the way you spell Dwayne.
I can't. I just do. Really? That's why he's D Wade.
Or Flash.
Yeah, Flash. Wow. No one's called him Flash in forever.
Yeah, that was a Shaq thing.
Shaq tried to get it to catch. It never caught.
It caught for the years that Shaq was there until Shaq turned on Dwayne Wade. And then, wait, you don't even like him. And we still got to call him Flash?
He does turn on everybody. Penny Hardaway is Kobe Bryant is Dwayne Wade. I'm sensing you have an issue with guards.
When the smaller guard starts to get, when the guard starts to get a credit, some more credit than Shaq, Shaq turns on. That's what he does. That's who he is.
And that Shaq is a top 10 player in NBA history is a load. That's a load.
It truly is. Go look at anybody who wants to do this little thing.
He was a top 2 at college player.
Well, go to basketballreference.com and go. Look, I don't doubt his dominance. He was maybe the most dominant player I've ever seen from a physical standpoint. go look at how many games he's missed. I can't put you in a top 10 if you miss that many games because you just couldn't stop yourself from weighing 350. And you jacked up your feet, knees, and ankles all the time.
Dude, I stood next to him about a year ago or so. We were at an event, and he was speaking, and I got, you know, we took a picture with him. He is the largest. It's scary. Like, you walk up and you're like, oh my, it's scary how big this dude is. I mean, so I could see where he'd be hurt. I mean, running up and down the court, and I could. You've never seen anything like it. If you stood next to Shaq, you'd be like, this is wow. How does anyone have relations with this guy?
That wouldn't have crossed my mind, to be honest.
No, well, I didn't think that one single time.
I just feel bad for the little girl. 8 o'clock, ESPN.
Not little girl, smaller stature woman.
Well.
Yeah. Watch how you phrase that.
Did you feel bad for Aaron Judge's girlfriend?
I don't know. Why would I care what happened to her?
You didn't?
No.
Because she got a DUI, and she was, do you know who my boyfriend
that's
is?
That's on her fault. That's on her.
That is on her.
Yeah, the guy loses to the Astros. I know who he is.
He's a professional lose to the Astros guy.
Yeah.
ESPN. 97.5.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save